Good morning, good morning, good morning. Time for Capital Call, powered by Phillips 66, right here on K1, the one you trust. And with me here is the Lone Arranger here today, Judd Strom. Representative, how are you doing today?
I'm well. Glad to be back home.
Lots of sunshine today. I got to do something for the attitude, that's for sure.
It's hard to come into work when you get up and the weather's like it is outside. Kind of want to stay outside and play, that's for sure.
Indeed. Well, we've had a busy week. Governor signed quite a few abortion bills, didn't he?
He did. He said when he came in, he was going to sign everything that he was put in front of him having to do with abortion, and he stood true to that word. Mm-hmm. I know the senator had bills through. We had a heartbeat bill go through. We had a trigger bill, which I know has been on the kind of on the docket a couple times since I've been there, that mm-hmm. if Roe versus Wade is lifted, or judgment, whatever that is lifted, that, mm-hmm. that we would become an abortion-free state, and they got that through. So I think that's pretty exciting.
Indeed, we are Second Amendment sanctuary state, as well as
California. We are. That was a big deal this week. And Governor come through and signed that. There are several states that are doing that now, which a lot of those things that we already did. You know, we didn't really align with how the federal government would, you know, if they came down and wanted to do mandatory buybacks, we weren't going to take part in that, you know, really anyway. And most of those aren't mandatory. They're kind of a program that's offered mm-hmm. for people to get those off the street. But it just kind of solidifies that in statute in the state of Oklahoma. And I think a lot of people are really excited about that. I don't want to give any of mine up. I'm pretty partial to all of them.
Me too. Yeah. Also, the DRIVE Act recently.
DRIVE Act was great. You know, we came in and we, a lot of us had a hard time with this because, I mean, none of us, no matter what you do with a tax, if you're putting on a tax, you're taking off a tax, we sat in the room, you know, kind of head in your hands like, man, I can't believe we're making a tax. But ultimately, our entire road system is, or not our entire road system, but a good part of it, our highway system is based on the fuel tax.
Yes.
And before we came in, they were actually able to get that up to, I don't think it had been raised since 1986 or something. And we see that in what we have to spend mm-hmm. here in the state of Oklahoma. But what we have and what we're seeing in the future is you have a lot of car companies going full electric, and you have a lot of people that are wanting to buy electric cars. Well, they wouldn't have any skin in the game in that. And you've often, these cars are heavier, which is something I really didn't ever think of. But they will be on the roads. They will be using those. And so they, like I say, they have to have some skin mm-hmm. in the game. And that again, we would tax that at, I think, 3 cents per kilowatt at public stations. So you get the travelers, you get the people mm-hmm. coming through as well. But, you know, if you're charging at home or on some other system, you're still going to not have that. But I think that was a great deal. I was glad to see it get through. It's neat to work on those things.
Yeah, it's sicky wicked. It's a tax, yeah, but it's a tax. Okay.
Well, it's, you know, it's a, kind of hard to say everyone needs to pay for the service we're all using.
Yeah.
And we certainly don't want to come back in a few years and raise the gas tax to pay for these, you know, our failing infrastructure when you've got a certain amount of people over here that aren't paying yet. Mm-hmm. So you want to be sure and cover all your bases there. And like I say, you just put your head in your hands like, well, I guess ultimately you're voting for a creation of a tax or a tax increase, and you just hate it. But at the same time, it's
got to be
it's
fair.
A necessary evil, I mm-hmm. suppose.
We're talking with Representative Judd Strom. Speaking of gas and stuff like that, didn't we have a bill that went through relating to natural gas?
We did. Yeah. We my gosh, Representative Gary Mize was the author in the House of 1049 and 1050. House mm-hmm. or Senate bills 1049, 1050, and I have watched him work just work himself to the bone on this deal. They've been back and forth with really all the players that have things to do with this, and they come up with the regulated and unregulated gas companies. The price of gas spiked just exorbitantly when we had our winter storm, and mm-hmm. what we didn't want were people that usually have an $80 or $100 bill getting a $2,000 or $3,000 gas bill. You know, the gas companies aren't allowed to make really any profit off the gas they sell. They sell their service, and that didn't really change. But I mean, you had people that even if you turned your gas down to 65, it's a lot harder to heat your home when it's negative 10 than it is when it's just 32 or something.
Yes.
And so over that 20 days that this storm stayed, you know, there was ultimately a gas shortage. And even if you didn't run on gas, you ran on electricity. And a lot of Oklahoma electricity is made on natural gas.
Yeah.
And so what we did is we went together and put together a program for the cities and towns and the companies that sell that gas to where they could pay that over 30 years. And so you'll have a place on your bill that says this is your part from that and be able to stretch that out. So like I say, they worked and worked on that, everyone from the Corporation Commission to the representatives and the senators and the gas companies all came to the table, and everybody, I never saw a single person that wasn't there at the table trying to help or figure out a way that was fair for the consumers, fair for Oklahomans to mitigate that problem.
We're speaking with Representative Judd Strom right here on Capitol Call, powered by Phillips 66. You've been working on something for quite a while now regarding jails.
Yeah, this is probably my third year to work on this. We came in, and one thing we've seen in Oklahoma is we're moving away from really private prisons. And I never, coming in as a farmer and a pipeliner, I never thought I'd spend so much time on criminal justice. But it was one of those things where I didn't feel like anybody was paying it the mind that it needed to be paid or looking at it. There were so many little things that I discussed with people we could fix. And so one of those problems was, I have Nowata County, and we had a lot of trouble getting a jail remodeled or up and going. And so we started looking, what if we could put two counties together, and create this multi-county jail trust? Well, we went back to legislation from, I think, 1986, and they already had that where you really could, where two counties could go together. And so what we started looking at, though, was how would it be if we created more of a correctional facility than a penal facility to catch a lot of these young people, maybe having trouble in life? And we go right in the beginning, and we bring in resources from drug and alcohol counseling, from mental health counseling, from VOTEC, to get skills training in these facilities, and let all of these different organizations come in and have a little part of that. And we've even included the tribes. I invited Dora Piskowski into a meeting at ECHO last week to really listen. I kind of gave about an hour speech, I guess, on this. But what we're going to do is, we already have five counties that have CARES Act money that are interested right now in creating a facility that is more of a correctional facility than a penal facility. It'll operate at a lower cost to the state. I think we'll turn out more people that are ready to move into life on the right path as they come out of here, rather than becoming institutionalized criminals. I really see a problem with, there are a lot of people that say, if 5 years didn't work, give them 10 years. Well, have you really created a better person that's coming out? But if you take someone that comes in, say a 19, 20-year-old that comes into the system, and you really look at the problems they were having, were they on drugs? Did they have mental health problems? Is it the case that they simply did not have a marketable skill when they came out, and so they, they're running with their crowd, and they turn to theft or something like that? We can get them a skill, and I think that's important. And I've worked with VOTEC, we've worked with job placement, we've worked with drug and alcohol counseling, we've worked with mental health counseling, and all of those people are interested in coming in. So we're trying to create, this is my third year trying to create these facilities, and really we've done it with no legislation. We've done it by bringing the right people to the table, discussing what we need, what they can contribute to that, and even discussing the needs that they think would need to come into this, and we've got a lot of work done, and we're at the point now where we have counties ready to do this. And
wow.
It doesn't exist anywhere else. It'd be a first of its kind, and it's something I'd like to start up here. Our sheriffs are on board. Our county commissioners are on board. Each of the players are just really excited to see this happen, and I've been really excited to be a big part of it.
Well, that took a lot of thought, and that took a lot of, like you said, partnerships and bringing people on board and sharing of ideas in order to make something like this get this far in such a, now 3 years to you sounds like a long time, but in the way that things happen,
yeah,
it's kind of short.
It's interesting when you have an idea and you've worked on it long enough that suddenly someone comes in the building and says, I've got this idea, or I've heard of this idea they're working on. I think, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Might have my name on it.
Yeah.
Heard you got a different job.
Yeah, I got to spend the day yesterday as the floor leader. it was kind of impromptu. I've stood at the
desk
before.
Is that a promotion, really?
It sure didn't come with a pay raise. And but it was interesting. I've stood at the desk a few times and kind of filled in, so I kind of knew the general, the idea of what to do there. And you certainly, the whole time you're on the floor, you're watching the floor leader, so it seems like something I should be able to do. But I got the call that the deputy floor leader was out of town on a family business. The assistant had major hail damage to his vehicle the night before in the storm. So at 9:30 the night before, I got the call saying, guess what? You're the floor leader tomorrow.
Yeah.
They said, but it'll be easy. It's an easy day. It'll be fine. You'll be fine. And then I get there, and the first bill that we run is about 2.5 hours of questions and debate. And so It was exciting, but...
Do you feel like it was a setup?
Well, maybe. they might not have wanted to be there for that, so I might have been the sucker in that deal, but I'll take it. It was exciting. I was glad to be able to do it.
You got a whole list on your legal pad here. What do we need to cover here? Because it seems like we're kind of getting toward the end of the session, but still some work to be done.
You know, there are a lot of important things here. I try to scribble some things down that, as we go throughout the week, that I think are important. A lot of the things really aren't legislation that we go through. You know, we moved the Oklahoma Film and Music Office over to the Department of Commerce. For years, it was part of tourism. You know, people would come in and say, oh, we want these people to come and visit and, I guess, video while they're here. I'm not sure why it was there, but it's a growing and budding industry in the state.
Yes, it is.
Especially in this region. And so we have finally looked at it. What it is a productive industry in our state, and we've moved it over to Commerce. Yeah. And so we're able to make, I think, better decisions for that business there or for that industry there. And so that was exciting. As well, we kicked off the OKAlliance.com, which is the Connects Oklahoma. It is an Oklahoma supply chain for manufacturers. And this, the simple way to put this, I say all the time, is yes, Detroit sold cars, and that is where they prospered. But Michigan prospered because they produced steering wheels and windshields and headlights and brake parts. All of that came together to build that machine. Mm-hmm. And so we can do that in Oklahoma. So if you're a manufacturing company, open your supply chain up to Oklahoma manufacturers and Oklahoma producers. You know, we can all do this together, I think. And that's a great thing for the state to be able to work together. And we've seen in the last year through coronavirus, we've seen with shipping problems, we've seen with cargo problems, we've seen how hard it is to get things. Imagine if you were getting them from just down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the partnership and the relationship you could make with those other producers if you're able to go and meet face to face and you know work directly with each other. And so I think that'll be a great thing for the state if we can get manufacturers involved in that. So those are little things that really are outside of lawmaking, I suppose, but those are things that I follow very close when I'm in Oklahoma City.
Now, you made mention about the movies. Yeah, everyone knows about the Killers of the Flower Moon, Gray Horse, as it is.
Yeah.
And you see the people all over the place from the movie doing things.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a lot going on really here in the area. I can count five movies mm-hmm. that were actually shot here in the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Are parts of them anyway. Five of them.
Absolutely.
And FX has a new comedy series that's being mm-hmm. filmed right around Muskogee and also Tulsa in that area too.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really something else because I see the emails that come in each and every day from the casting people saying, hey, you know, if you know anybody, send them down here. We're doing this. We're doing that. And Oklahoma, like you said, it has gone from, hey, we'll do a little something here to, yeah, we're making a lot of movies here. So that move for the movie industry to go over to.
I think it's great. We'll take all of it we can get. I point out, we had a meeting the other day and we were discussing Netflix has a $17 billion budget to create original content.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they going to create that content?
Yeah.
One thing that we lacked in Oklahoma was a real soundstage environment where they can go in a controlled environment and make these parts mm-hmm. or, you know, build the sets of your sitcoms. We have that in Oklahoma City now.
We do.
I'll point out as well that Georgia had, the film industry had a $9.5 billion impact on their economy last year. The legislature in Oklahoma is only going to appropriate about $8.3 billion. So their film industry creates more revenue than we're appropriating. And people think, well, it's all these big A-list movies. You'll hear someone say, we're sending all this money to Hollywood. Well, the rebate program that we have created, you have to spend that money in Oklahoma before you get a rebate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a graduated rebate. So if you spend $50 million, you get X back. If you spend $100 million, you get X times 2 back. If you spend $120 or $200 million, you get back. So those dollars are already going to have been spent here before they realize that robot. So we're not sending that robot, that rebate.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not sending money to Hollywood. Hollywood's bringing money to Oklahoma and spending it on Oklahomans.
And they're paying people to work here. When they come here, they're always looking for contractors. They're always looking for other types of workers to earn money right here in Oklahoma while they are filming.
They are, and I'll point out
they're buying a lot of stuff around here, too.
One thing that I've worked on in business and commerce is I want to create a good environment for your kids or you to have a job and stay right here in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And people say, okay, money's one thing, but what if the coolest job you could imagine was right here in Oklahoma? I mean, you have kids all over that want to move to Hollywood or want to move to whatever. What if that's right here? And we have kids here. I mean, and if you're working in, I mean, plumbing, electrical, HVAC, construction, painting, you want to build sets, you want to do graphic design, you want to do film, you want to do light, you want to do sound, you want to, all that's going to be right here.
It is.
So I'm excited about it.
You know, we've got, you know, our future is so bright, we got to wear shades around here in Oklahoma. And on top of that, you know, the governor is going to lift whatever is left of the emergency declaration, looks like, next week. And
that is coming.
Let's, you know, let's all put it together here and see what happens.
And it's still, we still have, you know, we need to be cautious. I mean, of course, we should all be cautious of our health or health concerns or health risks. But at the same time, I think at this point, we figured out how to, you know, keep a thumb on the pandemic or whatever at this point. People know how to act and what to do. And
how to be respectful.
We
don't have those problems like other states do. We just don't. It's just like,
we're good people here.
We try.
Yeah.
Closing words to you.
Man, I try to keep you updated every week when I come in here on where we're at in the Capitol. We finished House bills in the House. We finished Senate bills in the Senate. We've come through together. We're accepting or rejecting amendments that were made in the opposite House. The governor's really started signing bills and gone to work right now. We're down to ultimately clean up on bills, finish the budget, and be done for this session. But that budget's the kicker.
Yeah.
When you get down to those dollars and cents, that table gets a little bit riled up. But it's exciting. And ultimately, that's the most important thing we do at the Capitol, is decide how to use your tax dollars. We're a service industry, and we want to provide the service that you expect from your government in the most efficient and cost-effective manner.
Well put.
Some of us do.
Representative Judd Strom, thank you for being with us here on Capitol Call, and it's been brought to you by Phillips 66.